Well, and obviously this morning we're here on this November 10th, and we remember. We take time every year in one of our services to take a few moments to consider and remind ourselves of the sacrifice that others have made on our behalf. This morning, our theme is Lest We Forget, because it's so easy to forget. Men and women, many Canadians over the last couple hundred years have stood up and faced oppressors, have faced opposition to defend our freedom, our opportunity to gather together as we are this morning without any sense of oppression, any sense that in any moment someone's going to break through the door and shut this gathering down, which happens all over the world and has happened, I am sure, this morning somewhere. Now, sacrifice is a powerful thing. You and I are often moved, as we experience here, maybe discover different stories of sacrifice. Recently, we were together, my wife Carla and I, with another couple, and we were just talking about sort of our family heritage. And, well, how did the Andersons and Remples end up in Canada? And how did the so-and-sos and this and that? And, you know, and you start going back far enough to the great-grandpas and grandmas, and you start hearing some pretty incredible stories of sacrifice and how they ended up here. And that's got some power to it as you consider that within your own families. We hear stories of modern-day Good Samaritans, and that is encouraging and also personally challenging and good to hear. Recently, there was a movie which portrayed powerfully the sacrifice in war, Hawkshaw Ridge. Men and women, so many, killed, and yet there was this one man who just kept going back and back and back and trying to bring others to safety that they might experience freedom. We can read the pages of the history of the church. Many men and women who were laying down their lives, literally sacrificing themselves for the lives of others, men and women that they wouldn't even necessarily know. And yet what can happen so quickly is that we get comfortable in the midst of our freedom. We can get comfortable and we forget. Or it's possible that it's not just that we're forgetting, but that we don't actually understand because we haven't personally maybe experienced what the cost and what the sacrifice is really all about. And it can lead to some apathy, to where it just doesn't feel all that significant to us. I was doing some research, as you can imagine, just trying to understand this whole concept of remembering, unless we forget, and what this means to us as a nation, to us as a people, as a church, and throughout the world. And I came across a study that was done, and it was done up to 2016, and I couldn't find out what the last 3 years represented. But up to the year 2016, so from 2005 to 2016, over those 11 years, the number of countries who have freedom decreased every single year. Doesn't that surprise you? Yeah, it does me. You know why? I'm comfortable. I live in Canada. I think more people would want this. I think more people have this than actually do. And it's just so easy to forget and misunderstand what is really going on. You see, freedom, as we're talking about this morning, as we're remembering today and likely tomorrow for many of you as you go to services around the city, freedom is to have a say, to have a differing opinion, and for that to be okay. The freedom to be able to express that, both politically, socially, religiously, the ability to have dialogue and oppose one another with our ideas and yet not have the fear of some governmental or some organization that's going to come in and shut you down. That's what freedom is. And we have our freedom to publicly gather. And it was bought at a price. Now, I don't know, in my own personal family, I have no family history, at least within the generations that I'm aware of and studying. We just somehow weren't a part of any of these wars, any of these standoffs against oppressors. Carla's grandfather went over after the Second World War to help rebuild things, but was never faced in war. But there are many of our neighbors who were. Private George Alfred Newbern. This past May, 101 years after his death, they knew he died. They knew he lost his life in battle, but they could never find his remains. 101 years later, they found his body. And with the amazing technology we have today with testing and all, we were able to discover and recognize and understand who this young man was, this 18-year-old who lives just down the road in Esquimalt, where he was living, enlisted and went over and fought and lost his life. It was the Battle of Hill 70, a massive battle in the First World War. Beatrice Bradshaw lived right over here in Mount Tolney. And Beatrice went to the Royal Jubilee Hospital Nursing Academy. And when Beatrice graduated, she then went off and served in the hospitals where men and women were being brought back from the battle lines and being patched up, and decisions were made as to whether they were fit enough to go back into battle. And we understand that Joseph Askey, who lived literally right here on Kerry Road, you've probably driven by where Joseph grew up. Well, Joseph was one who went off to war. Lived here in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He served as a cavalryman. And yet he gave up his life. Thomas Bobbett lived just over by our CPC campus, just off Keating Road. And his first tour of battle was in France. And when he went to France to battle early in his first stint there, he was gassed, and so he was taken back, and women like Beatrice Bradshaw had cared for him, and they determined that he was okay to go back to battle, and so they sent him back to battle, and as he went out, he was gassed again, and so he came back to the hospital, and he was treated, and he was deemed as being battle-ready, and so he went back out to battle, and he was shot down, and he went back to the hospital, and he was treated, and they deemed him worthy to go do battle again, and he went out again. Our neighbors, men and women, young men and women, living right in and around us. Alex Caldwell lived literally on Wilkinson Road, the road you drove on to come in here this morning, and went off and served. Why? That we might have the freedom that we have this morning to gather. You see, freedom comes at a price. And as I walked into this building this morning, I was thinking of that, of course. And I heard the worship band singing this song, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And it got a little nostalgic because I used to be the worship pastor here, and I led that song I don't know how many times from right where Kim is every week. But you know, when I led that song, I believed in the truth of it for sure, but it hit me in a different way this morning. And I recognized that, you know, you cannot have freedom without God present. Like that's who God is. When God is present, freedom is there. Now, we still may have governmental systems that are oppressive, but you know what? You can have a governmental system and be oppressive, but God's Spirit of freedom can still be there. Just check out the underground church around the world. It can be everywhere. But freedom, the kind of freedom Jesus talked about, is a freedom that is open and is available to all of us. It's who Jesus was, and it came at a price for us to be able to gather this morning by these men and women in the past couple hundred years. But there's a freedom that Jesus talks about as well. And in Luke chapter 4, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah. And in Luke chapter 4, what we've got is verses 18 and 19 are sort of these verses that give sort of the mission, the reason, the why that Jesus came to live and the why that he died. It says there, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, where the Spirit is, where Jesus is, where God is, there is freedom. And the good news of God to you and to me is that he wants to bring us freedom. He wants to set our souls free, or deep within kind of who we are. We sometimes have these things that are just pushed down and that are weighing us down, past traumas, experiences, maybe patterns of addiction. I don't know what it is, past hurts that are just sort of weighing us down. And God wants to come in and he wants to set us free. He understands that there are oppressive moments and times and things in this world. And yet he says that I have come to offer you freedom, not oppression. And you see, what I want us to understand, that just like we can look back on history, and just like we take moments this morning to remember the men and women who gave up their life, like that was a real point and place in time, and today is a real place and point in time, and men and women are fighting and standing against the oppressors that others might have freedom. Just like that, Jesus very much lived. Jesus very much died that we might have freedom. And this is a true thing. This is a real thing. And you see, it's the power of Jesus' sacrifice that actually changes everything for us as Christ followers. It's more than a plaque. It's more than a platitude. Jesus made the choice to offer his life that we might in turn trust in him, to turn to him and experience life in him. To defeat the oppressive thoughts and patterns and habits and traumas that have been put upon us. And to be able to walk with him and experience his freedom, his hope, his joy. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus was and is and can be a personal thing for you and for me. See, I mentioned earlier, I don't really have any family tie to the wars. Some of you do. It doesn't take much at all for you to feel like this is a very real deal. Like you've got family clippings and stories of family members who gave up. And because of that personal connection, it's powerful, am I right? It's the same with Jesus. You see, when something's personal, it becomes powerful, and it's the exact same thing about Jesus. Jesus very much lived and died. That can't be denied. That is historical fact, both Christian historians, non-Christian historians. It is a verifiable fact. But if it's personal, it becomes way more than a fact. And it becomes something that is life-changing. Why? Because it's personal. Yes, it's a story. Yes, it's a point in time in history, but it is personal for you and I today, tomorrow. But lest we forget, right? Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Live in remembrance of what he did. Not just gather on a particular day, on a particular Sunday or a particular Monday as we remember the veterans who went before us, but to actually live in it every day is what Jesus is calling us to. And he's alive and wants to empower us every single day. And so as I was considering this, I thought, you know, how are we living in the freedom that we have off the lives of those men and women, those veterans, over the last couple hundred years? How are we living in light of that? To what extent are we living in that freedom? Is it for a Sunday gathering? An early morning little Bible reading? A now I lay me down, my head down to sleep, right? Like that whole little prayer at the end of the day. Is it more than that? Galatians chapter 5. Interesting couple of verses here. If you've got a Bible, if you've read through the book of Galatia, you've maybe recognize this one. This is a chapter that's all about freedom. It actually says that, you know, if you got a little heading in your Bible, it probably says something about freedom in Christ or some such thing. And so you go down to verses 13 and 14, it says, and this is Paul writing to men and women in this church in the town of Galatia. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I think most of us recognize the second half of that verse. That neighbor is yourself thing. Yeah, got it. But do we connect that to our freedom? I mean, Paul says here, listen, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And we go, I'm good. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not embezzling, right? I'm not. Oh, that's not the end of it, he says. No. Your freedom is to be used for others. That's the call. That's what this is to be all about. Freedom not for ourselves, but for others. The marks of a Christ follower, we use that term here, that Jesus came when he was talking, he often called people to come follow him. We like that terminology because it's a movement, it's an action, it's a present day, you know, imperative, if you like. We're moving along, we're following Jesus as we go through our days. The marks of a Christ follower, as we follow him in freedom, is that we will be known because we serve others. We sacrifice for others. Us as a community, both here at WRC and as I just talked with the folks over at CPC, that we as communities, as one big community, like the mark of us would be that we are the kind of people that sacrifice for others, that we're the kind of people that want to create space and freedom and opportunity for others to experience Jesus and all that he has to offer and all that he has done for us. And so the things that start kind of going through my brain as I'm trying to put together something that will be relevant for us on a day like this is the sacrifice of Jesus personal to you? Or maybe I should ask, is it still personal? Or maybe has it ever been personal? Because what I know is that we can do Remembrance Day every single year, and we can go to the cenotaph, you know, go through all of that, and then we can leave and we forget all about it until next year, and we find our poppy, or we somehow figure out how to find cash that we don't have in our pocket and give them money as they're there. But that's a one-day experience. Most of you come more than one day a year. I recognize you. But what I know is that it also can be just become a Sunday deal. And it's just routine. It's just what I do. And I kind of check that off, and that's covered. And then I just go on and I live as I would like. And I want you to know there's so much more. This freedom that we have. This freedom that Jesus wants to offer us. When it becomes personal, it becomes powerful. Radically changes how we do life. And so I've been asking myself this week, and I hope I will not be hypocritical, and I will continue to ask myself this question as I go forward. Is there a sacrificial element to my walk with Jesus? A sacrificial element that benefits others? Because it seems from what I read here, what I understand, our freedom is not for ourselves. It's for others. Will we, in our freedom, live for the benefit of others? Will we, as we follow Jesus, take his lead and have a other-oriented posture, an other-oriented life, sacrificial? These are the things that cycle through my mind as I am challenged standing here before you and talking on this. Have we forgotten? Have we become just too comfortable? Have we lost the sense of what sacrifice really looks like and what it really means and that it really is our friends and our neighbors in days gone by? That Jesus' sacrifice really was Jesus. Man, our God died for us. And that is to be something that offers us freedom. And then in that freedom, we offer it to others. I pray that'll be so. I pray that'll be true. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather and to remember. May we not be a community of men and women, a church, if you like, a gathering of people that forget the significant things in life. That we would not be grateful. God, we don't want war. We don't want to see men and women having to go and fight for freedom, and yet others have done it for us, and we have benefited in that. And so we thank you for that. But God, might we, in our freedom, recognize and understand that it's not about us, that it's therefore to change our whole outlook and to learn how to sacrifice and benefit others. So, God, that's going to take some work, and that's going to take some continual work by your Spirit to continue to grow us and change us and help us to recognize and understand the immensity, the power of your sacrifice, the power of your freedom. And so we thank you for that. May we live for your glory and the benefit of others. In Jesus' name, amen.